Good morning, everybody. I heard, I was listening to the radio, I think it was this morning coming in, and the Christian radio station, one of the gals that was on the announcing there said something to the effect of Happy Memorial Day. And I knew what she meant, but it just kind of struck me wrong as a way to talk about this day. Because, we are glad for the freedoms and all that we enjoy as a result of what was given on by so many on battlefields across this world. But I don't and never have looked at it as a happy occasion. I looked on it as something else for all these years. And I want to talk about that just a little bit today. And segue from one to from one in this in light of what we're looking at this weekend, and move that over into an eternal perspective as well this morning. Memorial Day dates back to 1868. That's a long time ago. And a fellow by the name of John Logan was a general. He was a commander in chief of the Grand Army of the Republic. And he named May the 30th, or proclaimed May the 30th, as a special day to honor the graves of Union soldiers. His order said it like this, and I quote, "Designated for the purpose of strewing flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion." Because of that description of it, that day also became known as Decoration Day, day in which the graves of those soldiers was to be decorated. However, even in 1868, there were services that were held prior to the proclamation that were held spontaneously across the North and across the South, where folks held regular services to honor those that had sacrificed during that same war between the states. So the observance was well underway even before 1868. Regardless, the observance of Memorial Day began as a remembrance of those who died in the war between the states. Now, since that time, those who've sacrificed their lives in the service of this nation in any conflict have been added to those names. And even since 9/11, our first responders in dealing with situations like they had to deal with there have also been mentioned in the same breath as those in the armed service. Why do I bring this up? Well, I bring this up today because it's up to us to teach the next generation what this day is all about. There's too many in this country today that look at Memorial Day as a three-day weekend. Time to barbecue, go to the beach. A time of getting. Every generation has to be reminded about our history. That's why these days are set apart like this, so that we remind the next generation of the sacrifices that were made for the freedoms that they enjoy. It's also a time to remind ourselves that we need to stay on the straight and narrow as far as history is concerned. Here at this school, we teach history without editorial. that's not being taught everywhere. History is being adulterated. God's being removed from it. Our roots are being removed from the way that history is being taught. And so days like today remind me to stay up on point. Stay up on point about what this day is about. Stay up on point about what the real truth about history is. The future of a nation demands a sense of rightly taught history. There have been 1,309,000 of our fellow Americans that have died in defense of this nation and the freedoms that we stand for. There have been 1,474,000 more who have been wounded in defense of those same ideals and those same freedoms. Those are numbers that impact every American family. Freedom is not free. Those who recognize its value and the cost already paid will continue to pay the price so that it will be preserved. When we fail to remember and we fail to honor those that have fallen, we begin to take for granted what we have. And ladies and gentlemen, what we have is still the greatest nation on the face of this planet. Now, when we take time to remember the sacrifices that are made for us and think about our past, we also should get a sense of the moving of the hand of God. That's a secondary thing that all talks and all reviews of situations in our great history have to come back to. The moving of the hand of God. How God has hovered over this nation. How He's pushed back evil on battlefields all over the world while wielding the sword of America. Through countless battles and conflicts, many of which where we didn't have a clear path to victory, we see God's hand moving. Setting aside days and setting aside objects for remembrance isn't anything new. There's much said about that same practice in Scripture. Let me take you on a little journey on that this morning for just a short time. Genesis chapter 9. This is the aftermath of the flood. You want to read the account? I'm going to give you the reference. You can read it on your own. Genesis 9, verses 8 through 17. In the aftermath of a worldwide flood, God established a sign. That sign was a covenant. And that sign and that covenant was embodied in the rainbow. And what the covenant was with Noah, and by extension, us through Noah. But the covenant was that God would not flood the earth again in a way that would destroy all flesh. That was the covenant. That was His promise. And the rainbow was the sign of that. It was the monument that was put up to signify something that the Lord had put in place. So when we see the rainbow, what we should then do is be reminded. Be reminded every time we see one of God's great covenant with mankind. It was put in that sky for us to be reminded of His watch care and of what He has promised us, each and every one. It's also a teaching opportunity. Every time that rainbow appears, it's an opportunity to teach those that are standing nearby what that means when it pops up in the sky like that. that it's a symbol, that it's a sign of the covenant and a promise of that that God's judgment on wicked, wicked men is not going to take place in the form of a flood again anymore. So it's a memorial. The rainbow is a memorial. In Exodus chapter 12 and Exodus chapter 13, the Lord brings the last plague on Egypt. Pharaoh will not have his attention turned or have his mind turned from what he's set on doing. The last plague comes on Egypt. And the firstborn of every living creature is going to be killed or taken, lest there be the blood of the lamb placed on the doorpost of the house. If that lamb of the blood, blood of the lamb is placed on the doorpost of the house, the death angel, when he comes to the land of Egypt, will pass over that home, and all will be preserved through that. Well, in the aftermath of this last plague, Pharaoh lost his son, and he let the Israelites go. The Feast of Passover is a yearly reminder of this event. I doubt very seriously that a great number of families in the Jewish community still teach their children verse by verse, story by story, about what the Feast of Passover means. But that's what it was intended for. It was intended so that every year on that date, the story of the miraculous leading of God through that Red Sea and through that wilderness journey, all of those things would take place, and the deliverance of God's people out of Egypt could be told. An opportunity to tell the story of God's great works, God's great provision for His people, the Israelite. So the Feast of Passover is a memorial day. In Joshua chapter 3, we have a miraculous crossing of the Jordan River. After all of that time traveling and all the heartaches of the wilderness, now the children of God are about to go into the promised land, go into the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. And as they come up to the Jordan River with its banks swollen from flooding during that time of year, and the Lord told them, just go down into the water. And the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the moment the first one of their feet touched the River Jordan, that River Jordan quit flowing. And that 1 to 3 million people passed through on dry land. You think the Red Sea was the only account of that? It's happened at the Jordan at least two times. And this is one of them. And they passed through on dry ground over into that promised land. The folks were instructed that a man from each of the tribes, was to go into the middle of that river and pick up one of the large stones there and take that stone and transport it to the other side and there make a pile of those stones on the new ground on the other side. They were to stack them there as a reminder so that when their children and their grandchildren asked, what mean these stones? They'd be able to tell them of the great deliverance of God and how He had brought them through and into that promised land, even on dry ground. So the story could be retold time and time again. Those stones became a memorial to teach future generations. Esther, remember the story? Haman, wicked Haman, came up with a plot to do away with the Jews. But the plot failed because a Jewess named Esther, with courage, stood up and foiled the plot. The Feast of Purim was established to remember that day, so that that story could be retold annually. Could be retold every year about the courage of this one woman who stood up against the wickedness of one that was in power in that day. Feast of Purim, a memorial. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul explains the procedure and the purpose of the Lord's Supper. He gives the history and he gives the meaning in Jesus' own words. He gives it. And Jesus says that this bread represents his body, and that this cup represents his blood, and that both were to be taken in remembrance of him until he comes. Until he comes back. The Lord's Supper is a memorial. Lots of occasions, lots of places in Scripture that talk about memorials, so that we rise up something to remind us that we ought to be grateful, that we ought to be thankful for a God who makes provision for us. There are things to be remembered. We have cemeteries with stones. We have battlefields with placards. We have museums and monuments. We have signs and songs. We have books and poetry. And all of these are to help us memorialize memories of some kind and to keep those things fresh in our consciousness, to keep them fresh in our memory, to continue teaching the generations that come of the truth of what took place in their forefathers before them. Sometimes we forget as we remember. Sometimes we forget the actual timeline of things because we now have better knowledge than those that went through things. You get that? We have a complete knowledge of things, whereas those that were going through had no idea how this was going to turn out. Had no idea what was going to come out of what their actions, what their actions produced. They had no idea. They just simply staked everything on it and went with it. During the American Revolution, those men and those women who fought against Great Britain during that time had no grand constitution laid out before them. That was a fuzzy idea that somebody had. Real fuzzy at that point. And so what it came down to was that these men and these women defended home and hearth. That was pretty much the breadth of it. They didn't have a great document in place that they could stand on. They didn't have a great ideal that they could stand on. It was more simply put, self-preservation and preservation of land and preservation of home. And that's really, in the end, what war comes down to. When the shooting starts, I suspect that there are a few folks that go through the mental gymnastics of listing political ideology and concepts of freedom. Mainly, I suspect that folks shoot back because for self-preservation and to protect the buddy that's on the line with them. Self-preservation and preservation of the one next to you. It just comes down to something real simple in the end of it. Isn't that what it all comes down to? What am I talking about? I'm talking about life. That's what it all comes down to, life and how precious it is. That's where everything comes right down to. Now you can take your Bible and turn to John 15. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The stories abound of those who died showing that kind of love. Books are filled with the accounts of men giving their life in order that others might live. There are folks that volunteer to do dangerous stuff to give their greater unit a better chance of making it through a conflict. There are those that shield others with their own bodies as bullet and bomb explode. Those who charged ahead when all they really wanted to do was run. I suspect that there's some in this room who have made those decisions to hold a line, to stand when they wanted to run. I suspect that there's some in this room that have gone through that. I'd also suspect that there's some in this room that have gone through the other, where someone else volunteered, where someone else stepped out, charged up, and gave you the opportunity to breathe another breath. That someone laid their life down that you might have yours. What's the most precious thing to a sane man? It's his life. The value of human life is the highest value of anything. There's nothing with higher value than a human life. It is so high that everything else, stuff and everything else, is compared to it. It's the highest value of anything, the human life. The great value of a friend is demonstrated when a friend yields their life to extend the life of someone else. What's the response of someone who has had another lay down their life for them? Gratitude. Extreme gratitude. That's why Memorial Day is so very important to veterans. And that's why Memorial Day ought to be so extremely important to you and me as well. The highest value being laid down for another individual. Giving the highest valued thing that any man can have and possess, his life, giving that life to extend another life. Now, as great a love as it is for a man to lay down his life for a friend, there is one person that demonstrated an even greater love. Let's read on. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard of my Father I've made known unto you. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. That's the Son of God that's speaking. Not some mere man. That's the Son of God speaking to friends. Can there be a love greater than a man laying his life down for another man? Yeah. But no mere human can do it. Only God in the flesh can. Romans chapter 5. The only other scripture I'll have you turn to today. Romans chapter 5. Looking at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ, Messiah, Savior, died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were missing the mark, while we were doing it our way, while we were all about us, when we could have cared less about God or what he thought or what he was doing. He loved us, and he came to us, and he gave his life for us. The righteous dying for the unrighteous. The godly dying for the ungodly. Not while we were getting one iota better, but while we were still steeped and in the middle of what we were doing. He came and he gave himself for us. He didn't come on the promise that we'd do better. Didn't ask us to do better. He gave his life for us. Many righteous have died in battles with unrighteous. But in the end, all the unrighteous will die in the triumph of the righteous one. What's the response we ought to have when one lays down their life for us? Extreme gratitude, right? A Christian works because of what's been done for us. We live a life of holiness, out of honor and respect for what Jesus did for us, not because we're hoping to earn it. Memorial Day, when you look at the hand of God that's behind all of this, ought to take on a depth and a breadth that is unfathomable. And we ought to be extremely grateful for God's workings in and behind the scenes in everything that takes place in this great nation of ours. He did these things because of his great love, but it wasn't his love that did that. It was grace, something we did not deserve, that sealed the deal. In that he provided one time the perfect sacrifice and atonement for all men everywhere, while we were still missing the mark. There's many of us here today that are still missing the mark. There's one purpose for a man to be on the planet, and that purpose is to please Almighty God. And we have so many that are butting their head up against the wall, doing things their way, doing what you want, when you want to do it, how you want to do it. And in the end, it doesn't get you anywhere, because the highest value that can be placed on anything in this life is life. And for a man to lose that life eternally is to wipe out anything that took place during this life. There's nothing that'll last. There's nothing that goes beyond. And so on Memorial Day, I'd ask you to take stock. Do some thinking. Do some remembering, if you will. Some of you, many of you in this room today, have memories of a time when you came to know the Lord. Rehearse that. Think on that. Go back to that day. Go back to those times. It's good to make that a Memorial Day. Think about what God did for you, where you were, where you'd be now had he not. Remember what he did for you. Think about what he's done. Many of you have that memory, and I praise God for that. But some of you that have that memory have been resting on that memory and have not been honoring what has taken place there with your lives since that day. And I say this to you, that's a shame. Because God is due honor and respect and glory, and we should work for him who gave his life for us because we love him back. There's some in here today that have never started on that because you've still been trying to do it your way. You want what you want and how you want it. And you haven't given a second thought to what God wants and what he desires out of you in having this life that he gave you. And so you keep on moving and charging and running into walls, running into obstacles and running into stuff because you're missing the mark. And the mark is to please Almighty God in everything that we say, think, and do. And so I say to you on Memorial Day today that this would be a good day to make a memory. A good day to make a memory. And let May the 28th be the day that you're born again. Repent of your sin and turn by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and live your days in honor and respect of Him, that He might bless, that He might use, and that at the end of this time that you'd be with Him who loves you more than life itself. That would be a wonderful memory for you to create beginning today. How would you do that? By simply surrendering your life, lock, stock, and barrel, to the one that loves you most. Saying yes to Him and no to self. Create a memory, a memorial day to remember for yourself. Amen? Amen. Today and tomorrow, we give special recognition to those who have died for the cause of freedom or in an effort to protect other people. What they did is noble, and what they've gone through should be honored, and we should be thankful. At the same time, I call on all men everywhere to honor and give respect to the Lord for demonstrating the highest love in that He extends the opportunity for eternal life to all who will believe. Repent of your sin. Believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. Memorial Day. Historically, spiritually, a day that we can look and look back on something solid in history and in our history for these things. How many of you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? If you believe that, would you stand to your feet? How many of you believe that there is only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Put one hand right up there where it needs to be. That's good. How many of you have received Him in the pardon and forgiveness of sin? Why don't you put the other one up there with that one right there? Now you could give Him thanks for what He's done for you. Give Him thanks for what He's done. Remember what He's done for you this day. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this great number and this great company that is assembled here this morning. I thank You, Lord, for a day in which we can remember. Lord, as a nation, and Lord God, as individuals, I thank You for the opportunity that we have to go down memory lane occasionally. Help us, Lord God, to remember our responsibility to teach the next generations. To not just let this be another day, but Lord, to help us to teach those that come behind us of what it means and what the import of this day is. Lord, help us never to fail to give testimony about who You are and what You mean to us in our lives. That we would be living stones and memorializing what You've done for us through Jesus Christ. Lord, let it be twofold. Let both of these things be true of us. God, a good Christian is a good American. Unfortunately, the reverse of that is not true. But Lord, every good Christian ought to be a good American. We ought to love our God. We ought to love our country. We ought to see God's hand moving, Lord, in everything that we're about. So, Father, help this to be a memorial day that in which we actually remember. Help us as we gather today, tomorrow, Lord, to think about our past, corporately, nationally, and individually. Help us to think of those in our own families that have paid ultimate prices, Lord God, that we might be able to sit and put a dog on a stick and enjoy it in a land of freedom. God, help us individually to be reminded of the same thing, that we are free from the penalty of sin. That we can be free from the power of sin with a deeper relationship with you. And that, Lord God, one day, maybe today, we'll be free from even the presence of sin. God, help us to remember and rehearse these things until the day that you come. So now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask one other question as we close up a service today. I've already asked those of you that have a relationship with the Lord to give a sign to it, memorialize it with uplifted hands. And I'm going to ask the converse, the other side of that, for just one question. How many would there be here this morning that would say, "Preacher, I know not the Lord in the pardon and forgiveness of sin. I know that I'm not a child of God, but I sure do want to be. Would you pray for me?" And if that's you, would you simply slip a hand up and down real quick? You don't have to hold it up and wave it around or anything. Just slip it up and down real quick, and I will pray for you. Would you do that now? "I'm not saved. I'm not a child of God, but I'd sure like to be. And preacher, pray for me when you close this service." Anybody that would be honest enough to say, "Pray for me." How about it? Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah. Anybody else? Is there one more? Lord God, you see those hands, but more importantly, you see those hearts. And Lord, when that hand goes up, I know you're working in that heart. Because Lord, that admission doesn't come easy for man, because we're prideful. We are altogether too prideful for our own good. But Lord, when that hand goes up and says, "I know where I stand, and I know I need something else," Lord God, I know you're working in that individual. I know you're working in that heart, that you're knocking on that door. And so, Father, I'm going to ask you, Lord, that if you just wouldn't mind, just knock a little harder. Lord, if you wouldn't mind, just draw that individual to yourself today. Draw them out from where they are to the place where they can receive help. Lord, all we want to do is show them how they can be saved and know it from the Word of God. Not our opinion, but based on the Word of God, shown from the Word of God, how you can be saved and know it today. So I pray, God, for courage and strength. I pray, God, for no distractions, for nothing to get in the way between these individuals and you. God, that there'd be a clear path out from where they are to where you are. Lord, clear that way. I'm going to ask you, Father, that you'd bind the strong man off this service. God, that you would bind him in place, Lord, that he have no way to dissuade, steal, kill, or destroy this morning. Lord, that you might be the giver of life, and Lord, that you might give the courage to receive. Well, Father, I pray that in Jesus' name, and amen. In just a moment, Jason's going to continue playing. We're going to open up what we call an altar here.